Alejandro Jodorowsky, his films were once considered so controversial that one of them, Fondo Elise, caused a full-scale riot at a film festival in Acapulco, Mexico in 1967. ABCO has just released a box set of Jodorowsky's work, which includes restorations of several of his films that have never been released before in the United States. Joining me now to discuss them are Robin Fline and Mike Gokinar, two of the producers responsible for the restoration. Very pleased to welcome you to the show. Hello.
Thank you.
Had you both been admirers of Jodorowsky's films before you got involved in this project?
Actually, Mick was. I hated them. I thought they were violent and horrible and couldn't see the point. I had seen them when I was 12. Mm-hmm. So I was horrified at all the killing and...
Well, there's a lot of blood.
There's a lot of blood, and I took everything very literally, and I didn't get it. But Mick loved it, so...
Yeah, I was a fan. I hadn't seen them until...
You could get past the blood, Mick?
a little more tolerance for it, I think. But I didn't see them until I was much older than Robin, so...
And who could we say are his influences? I mean, the ones that immediately come to my mind, and maybe I'm wrong, Luis Buñuel.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Arrabal, who
exactly.
The playwright, what is it, Fernando Arrabal?
Fernando Elise. Arrabal wrote Fernando Elise.
Yeah, he actually wrote.
American Underground Films, perhaps? Was
I'd
he
say Buster Keaton as well.
Because many of these films are shot... really a silence, and if there's a sound is added afterward, sometimes a little bit of dialogue, but mostly sound effects.
Exactly.
That's right. It was all done after the fact.
He thought that sound should be used like paint. That's why he, you know, if you ever watch Kill the Masters, El Topo, all the women have men's voice.
Mm-hmm.
And the women have the men have women's voice, and you know a woman's when she screams, it sounds like a bird, and it catches you by surprise. It's very strange. And then when you watch it, we actually have an English dub version as a choice on the DVD, and they put women's voices for women and men's voices for men, and it's hysterical. It's funny because it doesn't have any, you realize the layer.
Well, it undermines his point.
Exactly.
That's right.
He once said, I ask of cinema what many North Americans ask of psychedelic drugs. What do you think he meant by that? Was it his intention to make hallucinatory movies?
Open your mind up, basically, was what I think he was trying to say with that.
Yeah, mm-hmm. I think he...
Be open to new ideas, new concepts, challenge yourself.
He said art should never entertain. Art should always challenge.
Do you think that's why that riot broke out after Fondo Elise?
Yeah, I think he loved it. I think he absolutely adored it. I think anything he can stir up is good.
He embraced his own myth, yeah.
Well, how much do you think he wanted us to just view them as visual experiences, and how much... should we be looking for deeper meanings in these movies? Should I read every Freudian symbol and every religious image and every magical image as having some real significance? Or is it just part of some kind of a...
Well, he studied all religions before he started this. I mean, he is trying to get a lot of those points across, but I think there's a reverence in it as well. So you take it in and then you discard things when you're watching it. So there's sort of an irreverence to his own work, I think. But he takes himself seriously about what he's attempting to try and say, which is spiritual enlightenment.
How did he even come to this? Was he trained as a filmmaker?
Well, no. His background is actually in theater. He worked with Marcel Marceau and wrote some of his bigger pieces.
No wonder he likes silence.
Yeah. And then they started a theater group called the Panic Movement.
Surreal. He wanted to save surrealistic art. That was his big mission.
Mm-hmm. Now, he was born in Chile, but he became a naturalized Mexican citizen. What was wrong with Chile?
They hated poets and the politics of the time.
Well, one of the most famous poets of the time came from Chile.
I'm sorry. I didn't mean that. I don't know why I said that. because they actually love poets, but I know that the politics of the time pushed him out of Mexico, out of Chile.
Uh-huh.
I know that, and I know that he wanted to make films, and it was too hard.
Because Mexico had a thriving film industry at that time.
But, however, the directors were unionized, and there was an old kind of boys' club, and you could only make movies that were 20 minutes long, correct, Mick?
Unless you're part of the union, that's right.
So
you're allowed to make shorts if you weren't a member of the Directors Guild.
Yeah, and that's
the
how
equivalent.
El Topo came to be, broken up into these segments. He made it under the guise that he was doing short films and then strung them all together into a narrative.
He had a number of films that did that. They seem to be chapters that, in fact, sometimes have chapter headings. That Fondo Elis does that. So I guess that was his way of getting around. Is that one of the reasons he left Mexico later and became a French citizen?
They were going to kill him. He was chased out of Mexico. They said they were going to kill his children.
Who was they? The government?
It was the government. It was the government and the powers that be. He says that they were surrounding his apartment that night, and he left the next day.
And for what reason?
Because it was horrific. It was,
sacrilegious.
It was sacrilegious.
He was dealing with a lot of religious sort of icons.
Christ and...
But Pri was not the most religious of all governments. At one point, in fact, did try to close down the churches of Mexico. So it seems to me that these films, if you do try to read stuff into them, are very much critiques of Mexican society.
Really?
Yeah, you don't see that?
No, I see it on a much...
I see a lot of Western
society
challenged there.
So he had to be smuggled out of Mexico? Has he ever returned?
He's been back. Yeah, he's been back.
He's been embraced since then.
Yeah, now he's their hero. I mean, because of... what's the guy's name now that's doing that film?
Guillermo?
Exactly.
Guillermo del Toro.
Yeah. So it's all very... Now, being a Mexican filmmaker is very chic.
The director of Pan's Labyrinth. Has he cited Jodorowsky as one
of his
influences?
Yes, he has. They actually met at the film festival in Spain, and Jodorowsky actually gave him a special award, and they hugged, and it was a beautiful thing. It was really lovely to see him given the respect that he deserves. But I got to tell you, I don't really feel that it's a critique on Mexican society per se. I feel that it's a much bigger issue. Don't you agree, Mick?
Oh, yeah.
My guests are Robin Fine and Mick Gokinar. They are two of the producers of a new box set of Alejandro Jodorowsky's films that are being released by ABCO, including some that have not been seen before. For example, La Cravate, his first film, has never been released anywhere. Is that true?
It was funny when we were doing the commentary tracks, and I just want to push here that if you are not a fan of Jodorowsky or not sure about what he's about, listen to it with the commentary tracks, because he explains everything, and it gives you a totally different... That's how I learned to love it. You know, red blood is really symbolizes life. All of a sudden, I love red blood everywhere.
Mm-hmm.
But La Cravate was... He brings us this VHS, this old pal VHS. It goes, it's my first film. It's terrible, terrible, but I give it to you. And it was amazing. It was just... It's silent. It's obviously, very... affected by...
It's pantomime.
And it was in a attic of the woman who produced it. We made phone calls, and it had just been, pushed away.
Didn't you also find other footage that from some of the films that people do know that had been lost for a while?
We have deleted takes from Holy Mountain that he actually recut for us on our Avid. So we actually pulled the dailies, and he sat there and recut and explained why he never used them. And what else, Mick?
In terms of missing footage? I think that's pretty much it for missing footage.
For many people, the name Alejandro Jodorowsky brings to mind the names John Lennon and Yoko Ono. What was it about his films that appealed so much to them? Did they talk about it?
Yoko helped him recently. Yoko has said it's the symbolism and the challenge of not wanting to entertain. That is what they said.
And they actually played a role in distributing El Topo, and then put up some of the money to finance Holy Mountain.
They introduced it to the public, to El Topo, basically, through the Midnight Movie at the Elgin Theater in New York back in 69, was it?
Yeah, I'm not so sure if they put up money for the Holy Mountain, but they certainly...
There's Jodorowsky calling right now to give us some information that we haven't really been able to include in this.
He certainly facilitated it happening.
El Topo has been called a surrealist spaghetti western. Do you think that's a fair description?
Yes. I love it, too. I think that's great.
Now, he's kind of disappeared in recent years. Is he still making films?
He wants to make a film called... Well, he was up for... Help me. What's the name of that his script?
What, The Son of El Topo?
No, this new script.
I don't know the name of the new one. I'm sorry.
He has a new script that he's been dying to make for a while, and it almost came to pass, but it didn't. Before that, he was also up to make Dune. Mm. And there are some amazing storybooks from Dune. He would have done an amazing job, but that didn't happen. I think he's having a hard time financing now, because he's an older gentleman with an amazing amount of energy, but he supports himself writing comic books and doing free tarot.
Graphic novels, I would say.
Yeah, and graphic novels, and doing tarot readings for free, actually, on Tuesday nights in Paris.
Well, tarot is all over these films. Mm. Was this a difficult restoration job?
Yes, I would say it was. It took several years.
Were the negatives in really bad shape?
Some of them were. The elements in El Topo were pretty damaged. I mean, under the conditions that he shot it, and he basically did it, I think, for what would be equivalent to about $40,000. They shot it in the desert. A lot of the elements had been water damaged and heat damaged and that. We had to rebuild them. Digitally restored a lot of that. Same thing with the Holy Mountain. They ran out of money, so we're never able to finish it the way he wanted to do it, and I think we've captured that now.
That was a lot of fun, actually, sitting there with him the first couple of times and having him see what you can do now digitally, how we could bring out a blue or make the butterfly red or make the dog's eyes. He's like, oh, if I only, you know, he was a kid playing. He was having such a great time. So it was such a great honor to sit there, and we would go through a scene. He'd say, this is what I meant. Why, stupid, why couldn't they get it? And every scene, and he would get it, and he'd be so happy, and it was just lovely.
Can this box set be viewed as a retrospective of Jodorowsky's work?
No, I think we're missing
Santa Sangre.
Santa Sangre.
To start with, yeah. Mm-hmm. He did a couple other things. We're both Thief and a...
But I think that Santa Sangre deserves to be in there.
It's a good introduction, though.
Mm. Yeah.
All part of the problem, I assume, is that different people own the rights to these things.
Right. Mm-hmm. It all depends who you ask.
Uh-huh.
Several people own them in some cases.
Yeah.
Do you think that he'll find a new audience through this reissue? Is he somebody who speaks to contemporary audiences?
I know a lot of graphic artists in their 20s who are heavily influenced by him. You know, they love the visuals that he brought to it. And there were artists like Marilyn Manson who actually recreated part of his stage setting for music videos have been influenced by him. But I know a lot of kids in their
and he married them.
People in their 20s.
He married them. Marilyn Manson.
That's correct.
Dressed as...
But he performed the marriage ceremony?
Dressed as the high priest from Holy Mountain.
That's correct.
Who else? Mick, you know more about this stuff than me.
In terms of influence, yeah. a lot of directors that cite him as an influence, and Del Toro being one of them. I think he will find a new audience. I think Holy Mountain seems to resonate better with a younger audience than, say, El Topo does, which seems to go more with the audience that was introduced to?
We were in Iceland, and it was striking to me how full the auditorium was after a double feature of El Topo and Holy Mountain. I had to leave. These kids are 20, you know, and they loved it. And it's all people that are coming to me are film students, and now classes will be taught. And it's the man that helped us the most. If I don't mention his name, it would be horrible. Is Richard Pena from the Film Society, who is a huge Jodorowsky fan, and teaches at Columbia. So he was immensely helpful in steering us to kids that were just. Would do it for free just to be there.
The final product is a rather handsome box set of Alejandro Jodorowsky's films, and my great thanks to Robin Fein and Mick Gokinor, who are two of the producers responsible for the restoration, for coming by to talk about them with us.
Thank you so much.
Thank you.